The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
Peter Wallison in the Wall Street Journal, back in the middle of November, had an interesting article on what would happen if we dismantled Dodd-Frank. See, the sharp rise in the Dow Jones Industrial Average after Donald Trump's election could be short-lived, but based on what the president-elect has promised to do, it is an accurate assessment of the U.S. economy's prospects. All through his campaign, Mr. Trump said regulatory relief for the economy was a priority, including the repeal of Dodd-Frank. Repeal or thoroughgoing reform of that destructive law is certainly a key step toward an economic recovery. Now, for those of you who don't know, this law was signed into effect in 2010, and Dodd-Frank was based on the idea that insufficient regulation, particularly of Wall Street, had allowed a buildup of subprime mortgages, a housing bubble, and ultimately the 2008 financial crisis. The Democrats who controlled the Congress, elected in 2008, acted quickly to follow out the implications of this diagnosis by adopting Dodd-Frank, the most restrictive financial legislation since the New Deal of the 1930s. Strikingly, for such important legislation, there was really no significant debate in Congress about whether the cause of the crisis had been correctly identified. A later study in 2014 by a colleague of Mr. Wallison's at the American Enterprise Institute, a guy named Edward Pinto, showed that by 2008, more than half of all mortgages in the U.S. were subprime or otherwise risky, and 76% of those were on the books of government agencies, which leaves no doubt the government housing policies and not a lack of regulation created the demand for these risky mortgages, but by then it was too late. See, it's not difficult to find connections between Dodd-Frank and the historically slow recovery from the financial crisis. And here's a sampling. According to Mr. Wallison, the Financial Stability Oversight Council, which was a Dodd-Frank invention, was empowered to designate large financial firms as systemically important financial institutions, or SIFIs, S-I-F-I, turning them over to the Federal Reserve for stringent regulation. And one of the council's earliest actions in July of 2013 designated GE Capital as a SIFI. Well, GE soon recognized that its huge financial subsidiary was wilting under the Fed's control. In fact, a friend of mine worked there, and it was sold off. GE Capital saw that wilting, and they sought an exit. They wound down their GE Capital, eliminating from the market an important source of funding for small and innovative firms. You've heard of the Volcker Rule? Well, the Volcker Rule, which was another Dodd-Frank provision, prohibited banks and their affiliates from trading securities for their own account, although there was really no evidence that this activity had any role in the financial crisis. You know, it sounds like a bad idea, prohibiting banks and their affiliates from trading securities for their own account. Sounds like you're keeping them from doing something they shouldn't be doing, but in fact, that's not what was causing the crisis. Soon, trading desks all over Wall Street were closing down, and traders were complaining that the debt markets were dangerously short of liquidity. The Treasury Department, deeply tied into Dodd-Frank, said it was studying the issue, and it still is, meaning nothing has happened. Spreads are still very historically wide. Small banks, the credit sources for small businesses and startups, faced new and costly regulations requiring them to hire compliance officers instead of lending officers. One regulation on mortgage lending from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a Dodd-Frank agency, was over 1,000 pages long. Imagine that landing on your desk in a small bank. Hey, no wonder. As this Wall Street Journal reporter recently reported, banks are no longer the nation's principal mortgage lenders. Worse still, as reported just a few weeks ago, job gains at startup firms, which are major sources of new employment and technological innovation, are at their lowest level in 20 years. Fortunately, some reforms take care of themselves because of the people Mr. Trump is likely to choose for his administration. The Financial Stability Oversight Council is headed by the Secretary of the Treasury and composed of the heads of all of the major financial regulators. Therefore, the Secretary of the Treasury would be a Donald Trump appointee, and things will take care of themselves as a result of that new appointed official. So change will naturally take place as a result of appointments that Donald Trump makes. But if we can dismantle this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is a Dodd-Frank agency, and we can eliminate a lot of the so-called helpful regulations, which have done nothing but actually hamper small banks' ability to lend money to people in their communities, I say has done nothing, but I'm sure it has done a lot for employing new groups of people who needed to find work so that they could make it more difficult for other people to do work. Look, I'm in the real estate business. That's why you listen to the show, is to get my opinion on the market of real estate. And I have seen since the new CDs, these are CDs which were meant, if you go to settlement to sell your property, we're not talking about a CD of deposit. We're not talking about a certificate of deposit. The old HUD one, the settlement statement. So a lot of effort went into making a new settlement statement where the buyer has their side and the seller has their side and the two sides don't see each other's side of the equation. It's a privacy issue. But there was a lot of pain, a lot of work, and a lot of training that went into this whole process. And in my opinion, it was a complete waste of time. You want to educate consumers to understand what the cost of their debt is. Fine. You have a disclosure by the banker saying, okay, this is what your interest rate is. This is how much your interest is going to be over the long term of, you know, the term of your loan. Well, guess what? For my entire 29-year career in real estate, we've had that information available. People know what they're getting into. The problem that I see with lending during the big rise in the 2000s is that the oversight of who was getting mortgages, how they were qualifying for mortgages, was the major issue. But putting so many cumbersome hurdles on banks, making it difficult for them to even stay in the business. Think of GE Capital, massive lending arm, shut down because of Dodd-Frank. The opportunity for us just to see the economy expand as a result of small banks being able to lend money and being able to do so without as many regulations. Look, I'm not against regulation. I think it's important, again, that a person not just be living and breathing and then we give them a loan. There were plenty of people who didn't have any business getting loans, and there was a lot of bad things going on in the economy back in the 2001 to 2008 range where people were getting mortgages that shouldn't have gotten mortgages, right? We all agree we got into real mess in our country as a result of it. But we can all agree that for the last 8 years since the financial crisis really hit, that our economy has been muddling along. Hopefully, we'll see a change in Dodd-Frank that will actually see as Peter Wallison said it best, the market bump from Trump's win, this market bump in the stock market is peanuts compared with what regulatory relief can bring to small banks and small business owners. So why do I talk about finances and things like that? Because the global real estate market impacts our local real estate market. Hey, Stuart Rosenthal will join me in a moment to give us his beacon bits, plus how to sell your home as is. Sound like a dream that can't come true? Well, we've done it many times this year, and I'll show you how right after this.